cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. This is the week of love, the week of Valentine's Day. This is The Unview. My name is Alan Ford here on Cliff Central, the show where we make lots of entertainment and wonderful things happen. Gareth Cliff and I had an interesting discussion about something called Skype or FaceTime 6. Seriously, it's very safe. I highly recommend it. But yes, if your partner or your love interest is not in the same city as you, it's another option. Anyway, but this is the week of love, and we hope that you had a good Valentine's Day. That you spent time with your other half, or you went on a first date and you spoiled them, you know, just beautifully. Here is the secret, though, is that I think we should be doing that every day. We don't need a specific day to do that. I mean, I think we could do that just on any given Friday, for that matter. And sometimes it puts people under a lot of pressure, especially on a first date, because what do? I mean, or like, you like someone. This is the position I was in, because I was like, I kind of like you, but like, do I do it or don't I do it? And like, it's only been like 5 dates, and how big do you do it? And like, I'm talking about the flowers, not. You know how it goes. Valentine's Day. Today we've got a very, very full show. We've got Helen Dubois, actress, singer, a performer, coming into studio. We also have the star of Singing in the Rain. He's joining West Side Story, Grant Almaralk. He's joining us in studio as well. We're going to talk about the phenomenal Fluda Cup Theatre Awards. We'll talk to Melanie Burke, who's the chairman of the awards. We're going to chat about the restaurant of the week or month called Tiger's Milk. Again, I like to reiterate this. When we pick a restaurant, I pay for the meal. I don't get invited, and I just go. And I get blown away by stuff. And I think that's really cool. And I think it's a good thing to do, because otherwise you get influenced. So I generally do my own vibe, and that's it. And then we're chatting about Cape Town Fashion Week 2017. It is the start of the fashion calendar when African Fashion International comes in and puts this together. We're going to go there in a second. Yus' funeral was really quite devastating last week. I'm happy we did that dedication. We've got Francois Pienaar coming on next week. We'll talk about his MAD Foundation, Make a Difference. Also talk about what Yus meant to him. But all in all, a great send-off to a great man, and I'm happy we did that dedication last week. But this is The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. I'm in my gym gear, because I'm going to gym. We're going to do this next week or the week after. I'm going to get the personal trainer in, and I'm going to get the dietitian in, and I'm going to tell you what we're doing and how we're losing this XX pounds. And let me tell you, when you're doing Skype 6 or FaceTime 6, listen to me clearly. Be careful the angle. It can add a lot of pounds. You might want to add a few pounds in one department, but the other department, yeah. So, yeah, we're on diet, and we'll talk about that. That's all coming up. This is going to be a year of very interesting stuff. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert's coming to town. Bonnie Tyler, we've got on the show. We've got some big stars happening over the next couple of months. But let's go into what I do. I love every year going along to the Mercedes-Benz African Fashion International Fashion Week. It's kind of a long... Yeah, we'll get that right. But it is Fashion Week Cape Town 2017. And in studio, we've got Katie Davis, who's the head of production for Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Exciting. Every year it's exciting.
Yeah, and this year is our 10th year anniversary as African Fashion International. So I'd say we're pulling out all the stops.
Is Dr. Precious Motsepe, is she still involved? Very
yes,
close.
Yes, definitely. Mm. She's still
our
CEO and chairperson, mm. Yes.
And I mean, still, but how does it, because I remember 10 years ago when it started, mm-hmm. Precious was very involved.
Yes.
And picking and choosing and phoning designers and getting it going. It's now grown much bigger than that.
Yeah, I think that it's...
Yeah, it was small.
Yeah,
you know
it
that.
Was very mm. small. It's definitely grown past Dr. Mm. Precious having to phone designers.
Yes, because it was that. That's what yeah. happened initially. Do you know that?
But yeah. from, I think over the last 10 years, you know, AFI has been able to build up a team of people mm. to kind of take on those roles and to lead with those roles. However, Dr. Precious is still monumentally involved. You know, no designer comes onto the platform without her approving who they are, mm. seeing their work. You know, we have a panel of mm. People who choose the designers, mm-hmm. and obviously they decide. But Dr. P likes to be involved, likes mm. to see. She won't ever step in, but she's always a watchful eye, always approving things, and yeah.
There is two factions. There are two camps when mm-hmm. it comes to fashion
yes.
in South Africa. I'm not going to go through that, and quite frankly, it's boring because it's unnecessary. But mm-hmm. but here is the thing, is that it's wonderful to have good competition. It's wonderful yes. to be able to, because then you're stepping up the game and you're not dealing with
exactly.
a monopoly.
Yes.
Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is to have people like Mercedes-Benz, which mm-hmm. is a top brand
definitely.
Involved in fashion,
yes.
is it really collaborates very, very well.
Yeah.
Over the years, we've seen from David Tlale to Gavin Raja to Craig Port.
Yes.
And we've had them all there.
Yes. Who's
on the bill this year? Can you tell us some of the names?
So I can definitely tell you the designers who are confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really exciting lineup this season. Funny you mentioned, but all three of those designers are back for our 10-year celebration.
Are they back?
Yes, they
because
are.
Because David is superb.
Yes.
Gavin is like, he can blow your brain away.
Yes.
Because he can. I mean,
he can. And I think that, you know, in the past, we've dealt with certain issues mm. and those type of things always will happen.
Always. And they're creatives. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So we're really excited. African Fashion Week, you know, we started 10 years ago with a very small pool of designers.
It really was. I remember it actually.
We were bringing our, you know, our homegrown
Cindy Tooley was there those days. I mean,
yeah. So yeah, it's really
Sun Goddess. Yeah, those days. I remember it
yeah.
really well.
So
yeah.
we do have David, we have Gavin, we do have Craig Port. We've got a couple of new designers breaking through. We have Cleo Drummer, we have Jenny from Habits, Stefania, Shana, Taibo Bakar, Itwin. So this season we've actually opened up our platform for a Pan-African Fashion Week as well. So not only will we have South Africans from Joburg mm. and Cape Town, we've got Pan-African designers from Botswana, Ghana, Senegal. So that's a really exciting
aspect.
Which
is good because it is African Fashion Week.
Exactly. And
is it happening at the convention centre?
No. So we're very excited about our location this year. We're actually having Fashion Week in Camps Bay on the Camps Bay sports field. So our view is the ocean. We're on Victoria Street. We're really excited about this, right next to the Bay Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance for us to bring everything into one area. So we've got our show venue, and then we're launching a very exciting new aspect to Fashion Week, which is a bit of a lifestyle event
mm-hmm.
that's called Experience AFI.
Mm-hmm.
And those tickets will be open for public. You can purchase, come in, there'll be live streaming of the shows. So that ticket won't get you into the show venue itself, but you'll still be able to see mm-hmm. Fashion Week. There's artisanal food, drink. It's going to be a really awesome new aspect.
Kaylee, what I love is, and the way you've said this, firstly, it's nice to have a new backdrop.
Yes.
It's quite important.
Yes.
Secondly, you can have the spill
yes.
from the restaurants, the beach, coming into your space. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because it, even if I don't want to see a show, but if I go down to, let's say, La Parada, the new restaurant that opened up, or to the Bay Hotel, to one of
yes.
their restaurants, or even into Blue upstairs, I'm still getting the sense. And you
exactly.
have that. So
you're still almost a part
Miami
of Fashion
HTR.
Week.
You're turning, exactly.
But in a different
good.
Aspect. And mm. I think that the fashion industry sometimes is a little bit elitist and closed off to the outside world. If you don't know about Fashion Week, you kind of miss it. And that's why this season we're trying to bring people who don't know about Fashion Week or don't come to Fashion Week
mm.
to actually experience it in some way.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get all the models that are leaving.
Yes.
And so they're all hot. And then
yes.
they're all walking in their bags and they're going, they're popping to have a drink at Caprice.
Exactly.
And so you've got the streets filled with beautiful people. You've got fashionistas.
Yep.
You've got your best in
We're
in,
basically going to take over Camps Bay.
And I love that. I think
yeah.
it's really, really great. Clever time of the year in March because the weather is holding.
Amazing, yes.
And
so
it's amazing. Yeah.
We've changed seasons around. So we used to have Joburg in March. And
I remember
now
that, yeah.
we're doing Cape Town in March. We basically had a couple changes to reinvent what Fashion Week is to us and to our market. And we changed our seasons. And we also, we used to have African Fashion Week, which was a separate Fashion Week. It was three And now we've taken away African Fashion Week and we've actually put those African designers into Cape Town and Joburg Fashion Week. So those are our big changes this year.
Give us the dates.
So Fashion Week will take place from the 23rd to the 25th of March. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say a lot, but there is a pre-party happening. Okay. So that's something exciting to look out for.
Will it be that week, the pre-party?
Or? Yes, okay. It will. And then we have a couple shows that aren't actually taking place during that time. They're taking place slightly before, after. Yeah.
I know people love to be designers, they're creative. So they often say, well, our show's going to be in another venue, which is catch a bus.
Exactly. So David is famous for offsites.
He loves offsites. And he did the work up once, which, by the way, blew my brain away.
Yes.
Which he does, which is really cool.
And he's going to be doing an offsite this season. So that's always something fun to look for and to plan around.
So again, here's the next question. Mm-hmm. Fashion in Africa, growing wonderfully.
Definitely growing. Yes, correct. I think that our industry, although it's small, it has a lot of room to grow. And that's something that we're really excited about. We've got new designers coming up out of design school, out of incubation periods. We're really excited about our industry and how AFI can assist in its growth.
What assistance do you guys do?
So we've got a couple of different options that mm-hmm. we do. We have a incubation and development program that currently is going to be changing. So that's why we haven't launched Fast Track this season. Mm-hmm. But we have an incubation where we assist young designers and pair them with established designers for a year so that they can learn how fashion is and kind of learn some of the lessons that maybe they don't need to learn in a hard way, where established designers have already learned those. Mm-hmm. We also assist with finance with our show schedules. We've got a couple of young designers, or not young, but establishing themselves, emerging designers, where we offer a payment plan so that it's not so hectic and they are able to showcase at Fashion Week.
Great.
We also have relationships with some of the government-based aid where we can assist in those relationships.
This is very important to understand. People mm-hmm. don't understand that when this is a very expensive exercise for a designer.
Definitely.
It's a very expensive exercise. So that's why often they need to get sponsors.
Yes, definitely.
Besides the making of the clothes, they have to rent the space. They have to, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you're showcasing to the world, to the media.
So it is a huge marketing.
You can't become a big designer without a Fashion Week spread. You can't, unfortunately, all over the world. It's
very true.
It's a very simple model. But it's nice to see that you do help the designers out, which is, I think.
It is a costly exercise for a marketing plan, but it's something that's why we push our PR and we push ticket sales. So this year, ticket sales will be taking place on web tickets. Mm-hmm. We have more ticket sales than we've ever had in the past, but we have a feeling that they're going to go very fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really push the designers who are on our platform because we understand the financial you know, stress that sometimes Fashion Week can put on them as well.
I'm so happy you came into studio. We look forward to covering
it. Thank you. Yes.
This program, the show, The Unview, we have fashion, entertainment, we have art, we do a lot of musical theatre in general, and food. But fashion's a very big part of this business. And remember, even if you're going somewhere beautiful to eat, you need to look good.
You do.
And you get influenced by what's happening in Cape Town at Fashion Week. That's the fact.
Yes,
because
that's
the palette, the designs, and of course. So thank you. And I think it's going to be superb. So don't forget, March, Cape Town Fashion Week happens with AFI.
Yes.
It's in Camps Bay, which I think was be really, really cool.
Yes,
and of course, we'll chat to you throughout the year because we've got Joburg Fashion Week.
Yes, Joburg's coming.
Do you do Durban still? Or did we?
No. So we.
Because you dabbled there once or twice.
Yeah, I think that Durban is a place that, you know, we do want to move into at a point. It's just something that takes a lot of logistics.
Well, the fact of the matter is it's not a media hub and it's not an editor's hub, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So Durban fashion designers need to get into then those other two.
Exactly. We do open it up to everybody.
Yeah. Gideon, that's what happens. Not just the Durban July Derbs. Come on. We need to put it together. Katie Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
The
Head of Productions for AFI. Thank you very much. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous. Fashion's a big part of what we do. so does theatre. You know, we often chat about the Naledi Awards and they're great, but Cape Town in particular has got a phenomenal award called the Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. And this year is no different. It's the 52nd annual. This is incredible because think about it, 52 years of celebrating theatre. Sometimes, though, and I'll chat to Melanie Burke, who's the chairperson of the awards and the judging panel in a second. Sometimes they forget the rest of the country needs to know what's happening with the awards in Cape Town. But this is why we changed it today, and we're going to chat to Melanie on the line. Melanie, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good morning, Alan. I'm fantastic this morning, and thank you for inviting us to share with the rest of the country what's going on in the southern tip of Africa.
52 years. It's incredible.
Well, the Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards have been going on longer than I've been alive, and it's been my pleasure to be part of this process for the last 5 awards. So it's really, really exciting to be talking about it again this year.
You know, it is a difficult thing to judge, an event to judge, or in some respects, because there's so much talent in South Africa. There is so much brilliant music and theatre happening around the country. Tell me, the Fleur de Cup in particular, is it restricted to the Western Cape? Is it the productions that happen in the Western Cape? Obviously, those productions go throughout the country often, but yeah.
They do. And of course, productions from other parts of the country come to perform on stages in Cape Town. But this is specifically for professional theatre in and around the Western Cape, specifically around Stellenbosch and Cape Town. But, you know, you talk about the amount of talent that's available and how difficult it is to judge this. But I want to say to you, for me, as the person who doesn't get to judge, I am simply overseeing the actual panel members who do all this hard work. But for me, I love to have a look at our category for the best new South African script, because that's where this starts. When we start to tell our own stories and we start to speak about our own reality in this country, we start to create roles and stories about ourselves and for ourselves. And then that's the amazing opportunity that I get to have a look at. You know, if I just think about, there were 18 productions who were eligible for the Best New South African Script. But amongst them, you know, we had Amy Jeff as Christelle Flutter. We had the collaboration by a group of young people for The Fall. There was Hinterland, the Athol Fugard piece for Painted Rocks at Revolver Creek. Koleka Potuma, Mbuzeni, of course, Lara Foote for The Inconvenience of Wings. For me also, Mongiwe Kaya for I See You, which featured Desmond Dube in the lead role and was directed by Norma Dumezeni. And, you know, Penelope Youngelson's piece, Ralph Lawson and Greg Holman's piece, but of course also for theatre stalwarts like Peter Dirk Ace in that amazingly poignant piece called The Echo of a Noise. And then, you know, Richard Kaplan's piece, The Finkelsteins Are Coming to Dinner. And people like Wessel Pretorius, who wrote an amazing piece called The Ontelbare Aachen Theater. And so, really, when you start having a look at what is being produced by local talent, it's incredibly energizing, because that's where we draw a lot of the talent from. And just from what I've mentioned now in the Best New South African Script category, you will see through the nominations that many of the productions that I've mentioned here have actually come into the shortlist for nominations.
Melanie, you operate as an independent change practitioner for the past 25 years, and you do a lot of development in terms of leadership and innovation. And I mean, you've worked for so many NGOs, the list goes on. And actually, you know, Street Smart SA is something I want to talk about in a second, just on a separate note. But of course, it is about changing. You know, I think 10 years ago, we kind of lost our interest in theatre because we were stuck watching television. And as a TV producer, you know, that's what you wish for. But the art of going to see beautiful theatre, beautiful performances, is coming back. I mean, I went to the Market Theatre recently here in Johannesburg, and it's full. And young people are vibrant about watching South African plays and watching like Zakes and Dow's work and seeing John Carney's directions. And you know, so I do think we're seeing the shift. I don't know if you've noticed it.
Well, certainly in the last 5 years when I've had my hand in the space, it has been like that. So, you know, as you say, I don't come from the theatre world. And so it's really amazing as an outsider to be part of this change that's happening. You know, I remember when I first started being the chairman of the Fleur de Cups, I was I was so intrigued by how real life and what happens on our stages are intertwined. And, you know, 2016 for me was a particular year that blended so beautifully. If I think about The Inconvenience of Wings as a script, you know, Andrew Buckland and Jennifer Stain in that production, written by Lyra Foote, it dealt with mental illness, a very real issue in society. And if we start to bring these things to life and engage with them and interrogate our notions of our world, you know, that's what theater does for us. It takes you to a place where you can't imagine ever going in real life, but it allows us to do that. And certainly for me, you know, you compare this to television. When you're in a theater in live performances, when you're in live performances, you are actually part of the story. And a good production, I always believe, if it allows me to suspend my disbelief, because you kind of know how technically things are put together and so on, but if you can go with that production into the place where that story is taking you, then for me, that's amazing theater. And as you say, television, you can't compare. It doesn't do any of that.
Fleur de Cup, Melanie, how does the judging work? And take me through the process.
So the panel of judges are a group of diverse people. They come from journalism, theater journalism, arts journalism. Some of them are teachers in theater. And so there are people who, some of them are actually even trained actors and actresses, who we choose from the public, obviously, who are not actually involved in theater making, because that really is tricky. So it's quite tough to find these panel members, because most people who love this industry are working in it.
Yes.
So we try to keep the independence there. The panel literally are in theaters 7 nights a week. I have to tell you, they do this clearly for love, because there is not a massive financial reward in doing this. And last year, in 2016, there were around 85 productions that were eligible in terms of our criteria. And so literally, they have to see a minimum of, you know, 80 productions out of the 85. And we had an interesting dynamic last year because we had Annie on, and Annie had a whole variety of different people playing Annie, plus a Daddy Warbucks. So the panel literally had to go and see every version of this production. Yes.
But that's fair.
So I have to tell you again, it's about love, yes, because we have to make sure that everyone gets an equal opportunity to be considered.
Well, and I'm happy that you do that, because that is fair. It's reasonable. I mean, I know that they go along to this. Often the people don't even know who the judges are, the stars, so you can't really influence them. But all the people that are involved in the production. But the coolest thing is that, you know, it's similar to the Naledi Awards, and I bring it up because it's good to have these awards in our country, because I think that we forget how incredibly difficult, draining and talented you have to be to do this work, and it's hard work, and that's why it's good to recognize these people. But again, the list goes on. Name some of the top South African performers that are being nominated.
Yeah, there's Andrew Buckland for his role as Paul in The Inconvenience of Wings. I mentioned Desmond Dube earlier in I See You. I bumped into Marius Bayers last night in the theater in the Fugard. We went to see The Mother, which is on this year. And, of course, Marius was nominated for his role as Andre in The Father. One of my favorites, and I really shouldn't have them, but luckily I don't get to vote, was Cattle Drive with Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi.
Yes.
Amazing actor. He's been in the industry so long. And then, of course, the Alan Payton piece that featured Ralph Lawson in A Voice I Cannot Silence. I really enjoyed Ilse Klink in Kristallflockter. Of course, Jennifer Stain is a multiple Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards recipient. There was also the piece Clybourne Park, and so Susan Danford was nominated there. I think some of the other actors coming up, you know, the supporting actors are no less important than the lead actors. So I really enjoyed David Viviers and the Finkelstein coming to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Matteo Madisa, again, you know, I speak about him and Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi in the same production, which was called Cattle Drive. There was Lunga Khadebe in I See You again. And then for me, one of the supporting actors that really stood out was Rob Van Vieren in A Doll's House. And as I said to you, know, the productions that I mentioned earlier in terms of Best New South African scripts are often those that are also nominated. Of course, musical theatre in South Africa is
fabulous.
See,
that is my little thing, musical theatre, which I love. I
mean,
it is so lovely to see Paul du Toit for Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Very interesting, weird performance, but brilliant that he's nominated.
Well, I also think that the venue in which that was staged was interesting and unusual. Gate 69 is quite new.
Yes.
In the Cape Town theatre scene. And so, you know, what they had to do to make this production what it ended up being was intriguing, to say the least.
Jonathan Rocksmith always doing crazy stuff with the Sweeney Todd. And of course, the Marvin Hamlisch story, I've seen it all. I'm obsessed with it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yes.
And then, of course, you look at...
He was also in Joseph,
so this doesn't stop him. Which is, when someone gets nominated three times, it shows you their talent. Again, wonderful to see things like, obviously, young stars. Now, I say this because I thought his performance was exceptional. It was Chamant Geldenhuis who played
Sweeney Todd
in Sweeney Todd. What a performance! What an interesting performance, and what a body to match it, because he's robust. But a brilliant performer. No, he is. He really is. I mean,
absolutely.
And he seems.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that you've got newcomers in there.
Young people.
Yes.
Young people. We have to build the future in theatre. But, you know, speaking about that, you talk about young people, there is a really young nominee this year for Annie.
Lila Fleischman, yes.
Yeah.
She's a great little role, eh?
Certainly. Exactly, and I tried to look around and see if there was anyone this young nominated in the last 50-odd years, and I don't think we have had a nominee this young at the Third Cup Theatre Awards.
Of course, we always have the best set, the best costume, the best lighting. Those are really important, because behind the scenes are critical for great theatre anywhere in the world. But again, it's great to see that the Fleur de Cup acknowledge this industry. Okay, and do it beautifully, and get the, you know, I've actually never been to one. I'm attending this year, trust me. We seem to have them all on the show. I want to see them all on the stage. I want to see who's going to win. Melanie, I'm going to close off by saying the following. Fleur de Cup is the sponsor. Distell is not.
It's Fleur de Cup Wines that's the sponsor. And I must say, it's probably, the evening is going to be an absolutely delicious evening. I'm glad to hear that you're going to be attending, because you will be experiencing an evening that is alive with flair. And the Fleur de Cup wine brand has as its theatre awards pillar that supports the brand something called Encore. And our strapline is that it's worth coming back for more.
Well, I cannot wait to see what happens. Lovely to meet you. I look forward to meeting you. Tell us a bit about your NGO organization I spoke about earlier. What do you do? Give it a punt.
So Street Smart, very simply, is an organization that partners with restaurants. We invite them to become part of a network of restaurants where people who dine at those restaurants are invited to add R5 to their bill. And in 2016, around 85 restaurants have managed to raise R1,060,000 for organizations that we support that fund education, skills development, and family reunification for street children or children who are vulnerable to becoming street children.
Melanie, the reason that I brought it up is because I have seen it on the bills, and I'm one of the people that say, yeah, let's put the R5. Of course, why? It's R5, guys. I mean, you know, you've spent R1,000 on a Valentine's meal. You can definitely give R5 to someone to help them be fed. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. So if people want information on how you can help people that are hungry, because that's what it's about, and vulnerable, especially children, streetsmartsa.org.za. Go and help them out. And if you're a restaurant, because we get a lot of restaurants on the show, I'm going to start to ask them, do they belong to you guys? I'm going to actually ask them, how's that? That's a good idea.
Yep, and that's excellent. And
let's put them on the spot.
Because actually, and without diners who actually contribute, we can't really exist. Without the restaurants and without the diners, Street Smart can't exist. But I'm delighted that I will hopefully be seeing you on the 19th of March in Cape Town at the Artscape at the 52nd Annual Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards.
I will see you there. Thank you, Melanie, the chairperson of the awards and judging panel. She's not a judge, but of course, Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards is huge. Melanie, thank you for joining us. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
And that, yeah, it's South Africa's biggest award. It's huge. The ladies in the Fleur de Cup and acknowledging theatre. And on that note, I've got a theatre star in the studio. Theatre star in the studio.
And I've even got a star on my top today.
Star on your top.
A sparkly star. Hello, Mr. Ford.
And bois, how are you?
Bonjour.
Bonjour, madame.
It is so good to be here.
Oh, you look beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
That is the worst French accent I ever had.
Yeah, you think I'd be able to
sound
do it
like
better.
A German, like, no, not you, me.
Oh.
Hélène Dubois.
Hélène Dubois.
Parlez-vous français? Non,
non.
Oui, 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 oui. I need a wee wee. How are you, dear?
I'm so good, babe. So good to be here.
It's
this
so
is
good to
see the
you.
Family again, you know?
Yeah. Of course, you ran in on you because you have your show on.
Yes. Till 9. Mix. Yeah, mix, yeah.
With Tony
so I finished
Brewer.
At 9 and then dashed here.
Are you loving being on radio, by
Love
the way?
Love it, yeah,
Isn't
man.
Isn't Tony crazy?
He's a nutter. We're absolutely nuts. I mean, it's just insane. But, you know, people come to the studio, any studio, I think. And even, I mean, when I used to work here, I did the buzz with Jason. And, you know, it's not work, really. Let's be honest, you know.
I disagree. I find it quite
you find it quite taxing.
Depends if you're producing.
Well, exactly. True. True dad.
I remember when Gareth and I first started at 7:02,
uh-huh.
The afternoon drive, when we used to write traffic reports. Gareth was cleaning the cleaning the studio floors, and I was writing, I think there's an accident at the corner of Jan Smuts and William Nicol. Tick tock, tick tock.
Yes.
And then give one to Jenny Chris Williams or David O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
And Jane. I forget her surname. And then we used to run down and give the same report
to
Louise Sinclair.
Hilarious.
And Louise used to present Afternoon Drive with Tony Blair on 94.7.
Yeah.
So Tony was always there and always fun. And it's good to see that he's still having fun in radio.
Totally.
And
totally.
You're the sidekick.
I'm the sidekick. And we, there's no rules really. I mean, you just got to keep it clean, that side. But apart from that.
Unlike this side.
Exactly. Potty mouths.
But we got potty mouths. Mouth.
Potty mouth. But
of course,
it's good to be here.
You've been in this industry for 20 years.
Yeah, a little bit more than 20 even. But
I mean,
give away my age.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
And you've sung and you've done theatre.
We even did a little piece together, didn't we?
We're going to talk about that. You see,
I have such fond memories of seeing you in your underwear.
Underwear, how the time was naked.
True that.
Just because I've said this before. When I've had producers on the show, I actually had Bernard J last year, and it's very, you know, the reason I love doing a show about, in particular, theatre entertainment, part of the show is quite thick in this, is because it's the hardest, I think one of the hardest jobs in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Because I don't think I'll ever do it again.
Oh, really? Did you find it really, really hard?
It was very difficult.
And daunting. But
no,
you know, when you take clothes
really,
out of when you take clothes out of the
clothes,
mix.
I didn't worry about that. And I'm not a naturalist or nudist. But it really became something that I found very, very
arduous.
Difficult.
It is,
and
though.
Draining.
But you see, the thing is, people don't realize it is exciting. But from the second that you audition.
Sure.
You audition, you get a call back. You probably get another call back, maybe another one. Then you get the role. Then it's exciting. Then you've got to wait for the production. Then pre-production starts. You start doing that. It's exciting. You rehearse. Your butt off for weeks and weeks on end.
No one understands.
No one understands. You literally don't have a life.
You work. You start at probably 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And you finish at 5
6 o'clock
at night.
That's it. Every single day. 6 days a week.
And what
rehearse.
You're doing is that you are not... You're using your brain, you're using your body.
And your emotions.
You're using your emotions,
yeah.
You're using your voice,
mm-hmm.
and you're using your singing talent, and you're
exactly.
using...
Exactly.
And
you hurt.
And you sore.
You hurt.
It's really
It's really
sore.
Something. But people don't see that. They see the
they
end
see,
result.
They go, and they go, oh my goodness, that dancing with the 400 people on stage was slightly out of sync.
You're like,
I mean,
what?
What?
But the funny thing is, I mean, they often don't even notice the dancing.
I give a standing ovation every single musical theatre thing I see, for one simple reason, it is the hardest job.
It really is,
and wish people,
you know, the funny
that.
Thing is, I mean, to do a long run of a musical as well. I was in We Will Rock You, and I still have injuries from that that are recurring.
I don't know how Jonathan does it.
Oh my gosh,
Jonathan is something
unbelievable.
Else. I mean, it's crazy stuff. I mean,
and to sing like that every night. I mean, that's a muscle, you know, as well. So to be able to sing like that and have the stamina.
is just something else. You've got to figure it out. And that's what you figure out in the rehearsal process. That's what it's part of. But with some, we're like taking the glamour out of it. Then you get under the footlights and it's all wonderful. Opening night happens and then it's just hard slog.
I mean, opening night is a high.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's going, unless you're a bit of a flop.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And you never know.
On that note, Helen Dubois.
Yes, Alan Ford.
Let's discuss a little
trip down memory lane.
Trip down memory lane.
Can't remember one of the songs.
I do. I want to do Debbie.
I want to do Debbie.
Debbie's what I want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then, the shower.
I'm a small town girl. Small town girl.
Oh, my God. But here is the ridiculous thing.
Debbie Does Dallas.
The show is called Debbie Does Dallas. And I was very close to Caprice Perret and Jacques Terblanche at the time. And Caprice said, Al, oh my God, you just be a part of the musical. I'm like, okay, I can sing and I can dance at the wedding. Yes.
the old man dance.
Yeah, and I can hold a bit of a pose.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I entered this world as a television producer and radio presenter that I'd experienced and did a bit of TV presenting. Is all of a sudden, I couldn't understand what was going on. I couldn't understand what the hell was happening here. Cut a long story short, and I've said this before. I think it was the worst production one of the worst that has ever been staged.
No, but it was so bad. It was so bad that it was good.
But it was so bad.
But that it was good.
We made money.
Yes, I know.
It made money.
Well, I mean, there were people return visitors. People came and saw it like five, six times.
It was like a cult.
People got drunk, passed out. Remember? People came wandering around backstage. It was epic.
It was actually crazy. What I want to explain to tell you about this experience is that firstly, I want to just tell you a few things. The lead cast members, which were beautiful, remember it's a porno musical.
Yes.
And they had to show their boobs.
That's why we were in it.
Record. Exactly, because I'm not exactly the porno look type, but let's go with it for this one. Okay.
I've come to fix your pool.
But they didn't have the vocal.
Yeah, well, a couple of them did. The musical theatre people.
Femme Beeling was
Femme, and Tessa and Stephen.
Tessa was really good. Yeah. Okay.
And me.
Except
I never got to go on.
You and Stephen still haven't ended.
I know. You still haven't been on. Exactly. But remember, Caprice wasn't there for that time, and I did like a whole rehearsal process.
I know. So they had to cut songs. Change keys, do things. This is all the week that we're going.
It was epic.
And I've got it. You had Pierre Fanny. Listen, the boys were okay.
The boys were good.
I mean, they were only Pierre myself.
Check them out.
No, the boys weren't. The boys could hold it.
The boys were good.
Okay, the things I couldn't catch a boy.
And Jacques.
Jacques was great. I mean,
yeah.
But the best part of it, this is the thing, is that you, when you're in theatre, And you're doing a production like this, the illusion of nudity is an illusion. So you've got certain body suits on, and you've got certain ballet G-strings on that, and you have something called, and it's called a cock sock to cover that part if you want to show your bum. Seriously, it's just because it's
a cock sock. Did you get that? Did you all get that?
Yeah, it's a thing, but it's a sock that you put over your male private parts so that if you want to do a nude scene, you don't have to have it all flashing everywhere. Okay.
What about the other bits though?
Well, the bums, we didn't mind showing.
No,
the
other bits.
Oh no, they're just put into the sock.
Oh.
but it fitted the whole package.
They need to change the name of that sock.
It was a package sock. I mean, a package. Okay.
I never thought the interview would go this way today. I never imagined.
I know we're gonna get. But this, you, sometimes you're wet and you're trying to do these scenes, and you guys are backstage trying to help us.
Yes.
And we can't get half of the stuff back. I mean, that G string used to go. It's like a tick candy floss. So I'm like, see you next. Screw the G-string. Go naked. Pull me on that stage naked. And seriously.
It was really something.
It was like that.
There must be there's no
You
video.
Couldn't fit things.
No.
You couldn't.
And then it just goes on.
And here's the thing, is that you've got to get the song right. You've got to get the move right. You've got to get the action right. You've got to get the lines right. You've got to do this thing properly. who cares what you're wearing?
Well, that's the thing. That's why wardrobe malfunctions are so interesting on stage, because you can't do anything, literally. My skirt popped off once and I had to do, and that was the beginning of the number. And I only had like a show G-string on underneath. And I had to do it with the dancers all guffawing around me.
I wish that you'd seen us in Debbie Does Dallas. It was an absolute
Let's
joke.
Do it again.
Please, no. Never.
Please,
I want to
no,
do
God.
Debbie. Debbie's what I want to do. Oh, oh. Bernard J still does this. He goes, oh, God. How we made money on that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of productions lose.
It just shows you what the
audiences
want.
And it shows you what the
want.
Audiences wanted.
Yeah.
They loved the smut. But, it was a musical. It wasn't a, I mean, there was no sex on stage. It was nothing weird. It was a proper musical. Well, I mean, there was...
Not real.
Not real, but I mean, yes, correct. Yeah. The shower scene. The orgy in the shower scene. My parents were like, oh my God. What is my. My parents came to see this.
Wow.
What is my son, Alan Ford? My good child.
Radio man.
What is he doing? What is he doing on the stage? But it was, anyway. Listen, it wasn't that bad, but it was just really funny.
It was beautiful.
Take me through some of the highlights of your career, Helen. And I don't think that was one of them, but it was fun.
How
we got to meet.
I know.
And spend time together.
But also, the Joburg Theatre is an institution. To do a show there is fantastic.
I know.
One of the highlights was playing the lead in Boogie Nights, just a little bit before that, actually, and touring with that. That was incredible. We Will Rock You World Tour. You can't even begin to imagine.
I mean, with Hazel Feldman, a great production.
Amazing production. I understudied the lead, got to play the lead in Korea. And it's just, that show, it gets into your heart. Anybody who's ever done it will explain. There's a weird thing that happens when you're in that show. And it just gets into your DNA. It's bizarre.
While it's We Will Rock You, it's got a supernatural.
It does. And element. The thing is, I mean, it's got this like spiritual thing attached to it as well. And I promise you, it's really weird and I'm not kind of into it, but you can almost feel Freddie Mercury like present. Some nights in, No One But You, there's a beautiful ballad. You literally can just get the sense of it's weird.
It's weird.
I sound weird now.
But sometimes but this is what you do because you hold these roles.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, it was written by Brian May and they did it. What is the history of We Will Rock You? It's something that has to do with the risen Freddie in some respects.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's about the Bohemians and they've lost. It's like the Holy Grail in a way, but that's music. So it's a fantastic story, though, actually. But so that was a highlight. And then I love television as well a lot. My first TV series I did, I don't know if anyone will remember it, but it was called Honeytown. I played a pop star, and that's how the singing came about. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just been an organic journey for me, and I sort of come in and out of things. I'm like, oh, musical theatre, let's do some of that now, and then, oh, film, let's do that. So I kind of just, and then I'm in radio now, and so...
I said this to some of the guys a couple of weeks ago that were in studio, that you, the cast of West Side Story, and I said, you know, this business, you have to be multifaceted.
You really do.
And have multi dimensions to.
Not even triple anymore. It's like.
It's multi.
Quadruple,
So if you can do radio, you can do radio. If you do voiceover, you do voiceover.
You do all of it.
If you can teach, you teach.
Yes.
If you dance, you dance. You sing, you sing. Perform, direct. Okay.
But of course, these days, with social media and everything, branding is so important. So whatever you're doing, you've got to make sure that it kind of fits your brand. And it's quite difficult. It's quite a difficult thing to understand, I think, as well, if you're starting out, to be able to put everything and channel everything into a brand and not go against the grain of what you're supposed to be and be genuine, you know? It's I sound like an old woman, but it's really like that. It's difficult to keep true to yourself.
Well, it's more about also understanding that this is an art form, and this is many. You got to survive.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. If you can be, people want to be famous. That's just so bad because
don't be
a working actor or whatever it is. I mean, people hate that phrase, but to be a working actor, actress, radio DJ, whatever it is, you're working. You've got your finger in a few pies. You're happy. You're content in your life. And occasionally, there's a boost. Like I did Celebrity Big Brother, which was an amazing boost for my career.
Yes,
a massive boost.
Bill Flynn.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually talking about him the other day. Somebody said, Hoi Millies, and I was like, oh my gosh, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, you, yeah. Danny Kay was
Joanne
in it.
Joanne Strauss. Cabello, yeah.
Great experience.
The best. Mm. The best. One of the best experiences.
And it was, I think Bill actually won it.
He did. He did. Yeah, he did.
The interesting thing when you look at, it shows you how TV can punt an actor, an actress, and having a big public platform.
Exactly.
Is critical.
Got to use it, though, in the right manner. So all the kids who are doing all these reality shows now, great.
Yeah.
If you don't use, you've got that moment and that platform. If you don't use it then, it's gone.
I was at the Mum Champagne tent at the JMB Met. And there were a whole bunch of young stars. And I'm going to say probably like Vuzu. Type of stars, maybe a bit of SABC One, and these all these
like Trace or
E and all these people who I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know. As a TV producer, I don't know, and they really don't want to know you because they don't know who you are, so they don't really care because they're so fake, so worried about their dress and so worried about their hair, and so worried about like staring at and skiffing someone else out. It's very weird, and selfies and all that,
and drinking free champagne.
Yeah, okay, which I kind of understand, but here's the funniest thing: the thing is that it is, if you don't play it properly, it's a very short-lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go back in the day when people were big stars. Okay. Where are they now?
Mm.
You know, they have to reinvent.
That's my thing. That's actually part of my thing.
Which is
what about? Like Madonna is the queen of reinvention, and I take a page out of her book.
But
you've
remember,
got to reinvent yourself.
But Madonna 10 years ago could have retired and had a very happy life. A lot of people have to really work hard because otherwise you can't eat.
No, exactly.
Okay, so we got champagne wishes and caviar dreams today.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that you have to have talent.
Exactly.
And you have to cultivate the talent.
And you have to be a nice person and a professional person.
That's it.
Because that's unfortunately...
You lose very, very quickly.
You know that term old school, like people talk about the old school way, and the old school way is becoming a very long and distant memory, which is really sad because it's just a level of professionalism that needs to be had and kept, which is just kind of slipping slightly. And it's so sad to me because there are amazingly talented people who are just, they're just missing out because they're not reliable and they're unprofessional and they're rude and whatever it is.
I'm telling you, because... Here's the attitude.
I didn't mean to look at you when I said that. She's like, me? You're talking to me?
But the attitude is so simple. Here's the attitude. The attitude is the following. I am not going to work with you again.
Well, exactly.
Because there are plenty shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Yeah.
All right. And I want to tell you, I have had the pleasure to work with some of the best in this country and some in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the best don't act like that, so you continue to use them. But if you someone new that walks in that is late for appointments, misses interviews, doesn't arrive on time, has an attitude, drunk on set, it is so easy. You just don't
and
work with them.
And literally, depending on who you're working with, you could do it once because you'll speak to somebody who'll speak to somebody.
Yeah.
And that's it. Boom, done.
That's it.
Never work in this town again.
Closed.
Especially if it's Mr. Alan Ford.
No, but no. It's not like that. But the thing is that it's true. You will never work in the town again because people go, oh my God, Alan won't use him.
Mm-hmm.
Or Helen won't
What's wrong
him.
Then? Yeah.
There's something wrong. And, and then Alan say, well, just a dreadful person. I'm very, very few people, but it just does concern me where I see people that are young and up and coming, and they've got their little Vuzu, like a little. I don't mean to knock Vuzu. Sorry, I think Vuzu is a great channel. I think it's great what they're doing. But you had your one little Soul City experience, and now all of the soul. You were on Generations for three
a walk
seasons.
On roll. No, not like a walk on roll.
And then now all of a sudden, you know, like. Half of those people are not there.
That's the thing. And that's another reality of being in the industry. You know, you can get how lekker to have a contract. But you know, those contracts sometimes come to an end quite rapidly anyway.
An end.
And then what? Where are you left?
Well, they come to an end.
Yeah.
You know, I had Three Talk when Nalin was on for a long period of time. It came to an end.
Yeah.
It finished. Boom. You know, Oprah. Boom. Finished. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I'm saying, things end.
Yeah.
A run, Tim Pluman's Defending the Caveman.
It's never going to end.
Never going to end.
That but, is never going to end.
But he left for a while.
No, he didn't.
So
no,
it ended.
Back.
Okay. Yes. And then he wrote a book about fitness.
No.
And, but do you see? But I mean, those are the eternal geniuses that people want to work with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they run a proper gig, and that's what the thing is.
Yeah.
So, you're right.
I love this chat. It's like this whole kind of in-depth into the industry do's and don'ts thing. We should actually like write a book.
But you see, Helen, here's the thing. It's because you've been on the highs and you've been in the lows.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about the lows, because I would imagine there were periods of time where you couldn't afford stuff.
You know, I always used to say that it was relative. Mm. Somebody would say, "Oh, I can't afford to go out for sushi tonight," and I'd be like, "I can't afford to buy Coca-Cola at the moment."
Yeah.
Shameless pun for Coke. But
you see,
there are times where you have to tighten your belt, and thank goodness for like Woolworths accounts to feed me in those times.
Seriously.
That kind of thing where you actually had to be clever about it. But I must say, I've been very lucky and I haven't had to do, I've had to do other like jobs where you do jobs because you really do need the money, like dressing up as a Christmas tree and walking around a mall.
Okay.
I was a banana in pajamas.
Okay.
I was B1.
Okay.
Inside a suit. I nearly died. But anyway.
But you, because you need the work.
Because we need the money and the work. But, yeah. You know, because you can't always be up front. So you kind of do these other jobs on the side just to kind of make it.
And then when you hit a certain age, there's up and coming people, and then they pick them over you because, I mean, it's just the way it is. But that's why you have to be able to be...
reinvent yourself.
Yeah. You have to do that.
Totally.
You have to be multifaceted. You have to...
That's why I'm now... I decided to release the song.
Let's talk about the song.
Yeah.
This song is Like I Need You. Tell me about it.
All right. So
firstly, what made you write the song?
Okay. I didn't write the song.
I mean, sorry.
But what made you get the... this? Okay. So it was actually my second single I released was a song called Anything. It was number one all over the country. It did really, really well. Written by somebody called Pam Shane, who's
Pam
an
Shane
international
and Bernie
songwriter.
Herms.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's written for like Christina Aguilera and Beyonce and a whole bunch of people. And she wrote Anything. And then I was, said Benji Moody, he's my mentor. Mm. He's always been there for me. He was my record company guy. He said, "Let's do another song." And he goes, "Oh, I've got one from Pam." He sent me a few, and then he said, "Oh, I've got one from Pam." And I listened and I went, "Oh, this is it." And it's like full circle. Do another song by Pam. It's beautiful. So got in the studio with Marius Broet.
What does this mean to you? This.
Why did I do it?
I Need You.
Like I Need You.
Often when a song arrives, you go, "I resonate with these words."
Okay. Well, the song for me is about a push and pull relationship and kind of the yin and yang of a relationship. And basically in the lyrics, it talks about without happiness, there's no pain, or without pain, there's no happiness. Without darkness, there's no light, that kind of thing. And I think it's very much a push and pull conversation with a lover in a relationship.
When did it hit radio?
It hit radio in September, and it's been playlisted on most stations.
Most stations.
And there's a music video as well. You can find it on YouTube, Like I Need You. There's a behind-the-scenes EPK. It's also on TV.
Great.
So it's going really well. I'm doing another song in the next month or two.
The days of releasing the album
it's expensive,
songs
hey?
Is over. You know, we were chatting to the guys last week from Jericho. And Jericho, they said the same thing. It's now you're releasing online. It's
So it's one at a time.
The CD days of the whole album is kind of, it's 2000.
I think if you're you know, really have a massive number one, go ahead and do it. But to do it as a comeback thing, I'm just going to do singles for now.
I have an LP player, so I go into a lot of the hospice shops and I buy old LPs. And I want to tell you something interesting about this. Some of these LPs only have three songs on them.
Oh, really?
So David Bowie would release like four songs.
Yeah. Or it had like just the A and the B side.
Yes, which is like three songs.
Yeah.
And so it's
like an EP.
But that's
kind of, yeah.
Which is interesting, which shows you that that's how they used to release. They didn't have
have
the money or the resources to be able to go and put these long, 18
tracks
on a vinyl. Albums together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so they couldn't. So they used to release, and that's how they would do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's happening this way. I've picked it up. I mean, not like I'm a music guru or anything, but
It's a good, I think it sort of opens the market to more acts. It's great. There's so much going on, really. There's so many new acts and exciting new things, new music out there.
We're
going
to listen to the song in a moment. Helen, what else can we expect from you? What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing the song now. I am the editor of a Showbiz site as well, called showbizinfullhd.co.za. So
wonderful.
I'm kind of doing the media thing there. Doing this, I'm working on a television show, actually. concept of mine, which is kind of in pre-production-ish.
Bring me the script.
Well, we're
bring me the stuff.
We should have a chat, right?
We should have a chat.
I've got a whole bunch, actually. We should totally have a chat. I feel exactly a partnership coming on.
We should be doing.
As long as you keep your clothes on this time.
Listen, Helen has seen every part of this. You and Fem and Caprice Bure and Tanya van Graan have seen me. I've seen you all.
Yeah, we've all seen each other.
I've seen all your hoo-has. All your hoo-has, all your boobies. We've seen them, we've touched them, we've grabbed them.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I promise you, it was a legitimate musical.
And you got paid for it.
Got paid for
what
it.
What a winner.
Jeez. It makes me blush.
You are blushing. You actually are.
But I want to tell you,
blushing.
You do something like that, you get over body issues very quickly.
No, totally.
You get like so over it so quickly. I
body,
promise you.
Body schmoddy these like, days. Anything goes, right?
Please, just nude. Just take it off.
It's like dress codes. Anything goes. Doesn't matter what they tell you. Anything goes.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to play your song. It's
You're amazing.
Like I Need You. Okay, we got it ready. Because I want to hear Like I Need You. Helen Dubois, thank you for joining me.
Thanks
and,
for having
it's
me.
So good to... We did that production 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Debbie does
Oh, it is. It's exactly 10 years ago. Now, in fact, now.
Right
we were
now.
Naked. Right now.
Right now, we were nude. Hell, I've put on...
We should have a drink.
I put on like 10... Not 10 o'clock in the morning. And here's the key, another key thing is, we just so you know, these people, they get on stage, they don't drink before they do it, because otherwise you'll break your neck.
Yes.
There's no... You have to be perfectly timed. Mm-hmm. There's no like nonsense, but afterwards you get smashed.
You have to.
Helen Dubois, where can people find you?
They can find it on iTunes, Amazon Music, all over the place. You can get the song Like I Need You, Helen Dubois, and then of course YouTube, just search. You can search me. There's a YouTube channel and the video is on there and I hope you love it. It's a really beautiful
video.
I'm
proud of your work and I think that you're
great.
Thank you. And thank you for joining me.
Thanks, my darling.
And this is magic. Like I Need You. Thank you so much to African Fashion International, the Fleur de Cup Awards we spoke about, Helen Dubois for coming into studio. We've got Francois Pienaar coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got Mango Groove. We've got Johnny Clegg. We've got...
It just gets better and better.
Oh, my God. We've got Priscilla Queen of the Dazzle.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited. We've got Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
You're like holding out for a hero on that one.
I'm the hero. Yeah, we need a lot. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. I'm Alan Ford, and thank you for joining us here on CliffCentral.com.
You know which strings to pull in me that make me bend and break. You know how to feed my dark side. CliffCentral.com.